Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Spiritual Unity Radio Network, a station dedicated to the concept that all manifestations of the divine are equally valid. Join Reverend Terry Power HP, Lord Onyx, and all the hosts 7 nights a week for programming covering a wide range of spiritual topics right here on Blog Talk Radio.
Spiritual Wellness and Physical Health with your hosts, Robin A. McKean and Lisa Ribble. This show focuses on helping you integrate your spiritual wellness, your physical body, and your emotional health. We talk about fueling your soul and inner self, as well as the right food to fuel your body.
And now, here's Robin and Lisa.
Good evening, everyone, and may I wish everyone listening a very happy and wonderful Merry Yuletide this evening. I hope that your Yule celebrations, for those of you who celebrate Yule, were wonderful and everything that you had imagined. The return of the light, the days will slowly be getting longer and longer and taking us back into the summer. I love this time of year. Christmas has always been a magical time of year for me. The holiday season, whatever holiday you celebrate, whether it's Christmas or Yule or Kwanzaa, or Hanukkah, or, you know, I think sometimes Ramadan falls during this season as well. Whatever holiday you celebrate, I hope that you enjoy it. Festivus, I think that became sort of a spoof holiday on Seinfeld many years ago. But regardless of what you take into your heart at this time of year, the fact is that the sun is born again, and it's the new sun for the new solar year, and it is certainly cause to celebrate the return of the days getting a little bit longer. So this evening, once again, I have Nivasi filling in for Lisa. Lisa's still taking some time off to recover from her knee surgery. She's doing really well, and she actually was just away for a few days with her husband, first time they've taken a vacation in forever together. And so I think probably sometime after the holidays she'll be rejoining us. But I haven't gotten a firm answer from her yet, but she has said she will be coming back. It's all going to depend on how she's feeling.
Niv,
are you with
back.
Us?
Yay!
Yeah, she is. I promise. She says she's coming back, and she wouldn't lie to me. So, but thank you, Niv, for once again, you know, pinch hitting and filling in for Lee.
No problem.
Tonight we're going to be speaking about Yule and some of the traditions that surround Yule and this time of year. I'm putting some recipes for those of you who care to join us in the chat room. On blogtalkradio.com/SURN. And then if you go and you find the show tonight, Spiritual Wellness and Physical Health, and you click it, the chat room will open at the bottom of the page if you scroll all the way down. And you can see all the recipes for all the things that we're going to be talking about this evening. Also, if you'd like to call in to listen, if that is easier for you on the phone, you can call 646-564-9714. And also, if you'd like to share a traditional recipe that is something that, you know, you make at this time of year to give away cookies or, you know, whatever it is that you, some food item that you like to make to give away. I guess I'm going to start this right off with, I made, and I haven't gotten around to posting this recipe yet, but I will before the end of the show. One of the things I always make at this time of the year is my solstice relish or jelly or jam or whatever you want to call it. Basically, what I do is I cheat a little bit because, you know, we're busy at this time of year. I go out and I buy some high-quality orange marmalade and in a jar and bring it home, and I put that in a pan, in a, like a saucepan. And then I think it's usually about 3 medium-sized jars, not the really big jars, not the little itty-bitty jars, but the medium, like a jelly jar. I think it's 16
jars.
Ounces.
The pint jars.
Yeah, I think it's a 16-ounce jar.
Okay.
I get 3 of those, and to that I add 1 bag of fresh cranberries and a half cup of orange juice and a half a cup of water. And I let that all simmer down together on the stove on a low heat, but you do want it to bubble because you want to make sure that any bacteria introduced by the fresh cranberries, because, you know, even though you wash them off, they still have bacteria in the water. So you want them to bubble, but you don't want them to burn, so watch it and let that all come together. Now, at this point, once it's all warmed and melted really well, I add about 2 tablespoons of either fresh grated ginger, or if you're going to use dry ginger, I would back that off to 1 tablespoon, because dried is always a little bit more intense of a flavor than the fresh. But the fresh is nice because it tastes fresh. So I grate that, and if you don't have a ginger grater per se, you can still use like a little either a zester, or you can use really fine side of your cheese grater, whatever you've got.
You can use the garlic grater on that as well.
Yeah, or a garlic grater.
The garlic grater, perfect.
Yep. I have a ginger grater too. It's a little ceramic fish with little nibbies in it to grate the ginger. And you want to take the juice as well as the pulp of the ginger. Don't throw away the pulp, at least in this situation. Do peel your ginger before you grate it by using the spoon. Use a spoon to peel ginger. It's something I learned a few years ago. It makes it very easy. You just scrape it off with the side of a spoon. When you're buying ginger, make sure that the outside of the skin is shiny and that the ginger is firm. It shouldn't be rubbery in any way. It should not have any visible mold. I also often go to the local supermarket here and pick up the ginger, and you can see, you know, little bits of white fuzz and mold, and I'm like,
oh,
and the guy's like, oh, you can cut that off. I'm like, why would I buy that, though? I'm buying this from you.
If it
looks like this after it's been in my refrigerator a month, I'm not going to use it. You know, why would I buy it from you?
Looks like
that?
A caterpillar in my fridge. I don't think so.
Yeah. So just be careful when you're buying ginger. Try to get a good quality ginger. And then along with the ginger, I add cardamom, ground cardamom, and curry spice.
Really?
Now, yellow curry. And I usually add, cardamom, probably about, the way I cook everything is, I put it in the palm of my hand. The cardamom is probably about a teaspoon of cardamom to that mixture, give or take, and then probably a tablespoon of the dried yellow-based curry. So it's a turmeric-based curry. Curry in and of itself just means a mixture of spices. So you can have a red curry, a green curry, a yellow curry, a black curry. You can have all kinds of curries. So this would be a turmeric yellow curry. That you can usually, McCormick's, I mean, any spice company sells the yellow-based curry. It's one of the more popular ones. And there are all sorts of health benefits coming out these days in relationship to turmeric. If anybody's on Facebook, I'm sure you've been seeing all these, you know, golden milk turmeric drinks that you should drink to be healthy. So turmeric is very good for us, and especially at this time of year, when the sun is waning and we're needing some, you know, infusion of a little boost to our immune system. Now, I like to add cayenne pepper also because I like it to have a little bit of heat to it. If you don't like spicy, don't add the cayenne pepper. But to this mixture, I also add about a teaspoon of cayenne pepper. Maybe you can back off a half a teaspoon if you want to try it, but you don't want it to be too intense. And then I just let that kind of, I mix that all in and I meld it. And, a dash of salt. So you want to put a quarter teaspoon of salt. Not too much because the jelly, because it's processed food, already has some salt in it. And I let all that just sort of, you know, get amalgamated, mix it all in on top of the stove. And then I get my jars ready. And I have a quick cheat. When you're doing something like this and you only need like 3 or 4 jars to sterilize, cover your jar with some, put a little bit of water in the bottom of your jar, like about a half inch of water in the bottom of the jar. Cover it with plastic wrap and then put them in a plastic container that you can put in the microwave so they're easy to take in and out. So I usually do like 3 or 4 at a time in a big, plastic Tupperware. Put it in the microwave for 3 minutes. The water will boil. And you'll see that the plastic will kind of, you know, puff up, and then when the heat stops, it'll suck down. Take them out, set them aside, and let them cool off. And the mixture should be hot, going into the hot jar. And
right.
If you do that, you know, obviously you take the plastic off and be careful not to touch the rim with your fingers, but remove the plastic, pour the heated mixture into the hot jar and immediately put your lids on, your mason jar lids, and let it stand on the counter to cool off a little bit until it's ready to go in the refrigerator. And make sure before you put it
on that rubber seal, a tidbit on that rubber seal, have you a little bit of water on the stove. This is for real because you need it sealed properly.
Mm-hmm.
Warm up that water. Don't bring it up to a boil, but almost, and you let it. But, you know, you put them in cold and you bring that heat up. That way you're softening up that rubber seal.
Mm-hmm.
And then when you pop that seal on and your stuff starts cooling down, that rubber seal around that lid will help cool that down and do your seal for you. But sorry for interrupting,
but
that's really important.
Yeah, you know what? I've never had a problem with that. But
you're
okay.
A lucky duck because, you know how much canning I do.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, I do.
So
yeah,
that's
I do.
What I've learned, and it actually speeds up that process a little bit, too.
Mm-hmm. Okay, well, good tip. So then, and you don't want to leave a lot of room in the top of the jar. Some things you need to leave room. This is one of those things you don't have to leave any room in the top of the jar. So fill the jars right up to the tippy top, and then put the lids on as Niz said, you warm up the lids and then put them on, screw them down. And then before you put them in the refrigerator, make sure they've tightened up really well and maybe give them an extra half turn and put them away. But that is delicious. I have people who look for that every year. And if you don't like cranberry, you can leave the cranberry out. And I've done that on many occasions, either a couple of times, you know, cranberries were very expensive, or I just wanted to make it and I didn't have cranberries and didn't feel like going to the store to get it. You can do everything the same except for leave the cranberry out. And if you don't put the cranberry in, you don't have to use the orange juice or the water. So it's just warm the jelly and add the spices and pour it in the jars. It's very, very simple.
You can also I've made that before, and I've done it with apple juice. And you don't have to have the orange juice with that. That apple juice just gives it a little bit of a sharp flavor.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. And you know, and so you can get creative, but it's whatever means sun to you, whatever is going to be bright and sunny and recall for you, you know, the warm summer days. And that's why I love the curry and with the orange marmalade. It just and the ginger. There's just something about those three things in this that just at this time of year, you take that out in the morning and put it on an English muffin or some toast, or you can use it to baste chicken with. It's just such a versatile thing, and it's a great gift to give people because, you know, those of us who are working moms are always like, oh, my God, what am I going to do for dinner tonight? Let's see, I've got some boring chicken breast in the freezer. All right, well, I'll take that out. Oh, look, I've got this stuff in the fridge you know, I can paint this on the chicken breasts and throw it in the oven to bake for, you know, 20 minutes, and I'll have this really cool, easy to make, you know, dinner. And make some rice and you're done, you know, and steam some broccoli, and hey, I've got a good meal, you know. Anyway, so that's one of my favorite things to do. And I know, Niv, you had sent me a couple of recipes.
Let me tell you about the one I had last night. I went to a Yule party last night. This was awesome. My friend Zoe, and I praise her. She did so well with this. This is a girl that does not cook, and everything was just perfect. She made solstice soup, winter solstice soup.
Mm-hmm.
She took potatoes, peeled and cubed those. She took carrots, and she shredded those. Two of each, okay? Two onions and two tablespoons of margarine, a tablespoon of parsley, and a half teaspoon of thyme and one bay leaf, salt and pepper, 3 cups of water. And she put it in. This was so cool how she did it. She cooked her potatoes and her onions and her carrots in the microwave until they were soft. So that's like 6 minutes. Then she took everything, put it all in a nice big bowl, and took an emulsifier or a food processor and mooshed that all up, you know, run it through. And then she started beginning to add everything together, all the spices, all the stuff, and she let it simmer for 30 minutes. That was it. This was the best soup I have ever munched on. She says, I could probably add leek to that. I'm just looking at her. Where's the leek? We can add that too. We threw that in just to give it a better flavor. Oh, my gosh. This soup was just a bomb. She had probably, I don't know, 10 people there. And, like, she made enough soup. Really, like for your household, it would have lasted at least 2-3 days. She just made it. You don't think 3 cups is that much until everything starts simmering and releasing all of its juices. This stuff was awesome.
Oh, that's good.
I'll send you that recipe.
Oh, yeah, please do, because I make a lot of soup. And
I did that today,
too. Yeah, the kids sometimes get like, really, do we have to have soup again? And I'm like, well, yes, we do, because, A, I can pack a lot of vegetables in the soup for the kids, and they'll eat them.
Mm-hmm.
And even if they pick out, you know, oh, I don't like the spinach, they're going to pick it out. They're still going to get some of the minerals and essence from the spinach in the soup because it cooks in.
Right.
And it's a way to stretch the budget. Soup is just awesome. So.
And it will last. If, you know, if you put enough in there and you know what's in there, like today, I made soup. Monday is usually my soup day. It just is. It just works out that way. And then with my grandson staying here, it's actually stretching our budget as well. And it was intended to be venison, but I couldn't find the venison, so I just threw in a pound of burger. And I added everything but the cabbage. And I mean anything and everything got thrown in. Carrots, potatoes, everything. And the reason why I do a lot of that is because, for one, it's very comforting to me. Soup is very comforting because I don't like the wet and the cold. So I'm going to feel good about being locked up in the house. So that's what we created today. And I threw in some wheat noodles, and I'm trying to think, what else did I add in there? Oh, I added some of that, my weird zucchini, everybody says it's the best. I can't taste it, but it's given me all that extra vitamins that we wouldn't get normally. Even great-grandson, he was just pigging out. Like, I did something right this time. The little one will eat it. So, and there again, tomorrow I'll turn around and I'll add the cabbage to it and perhaps other noodles as well, just to build that base back up again. Today was basically just the liquid form But and I should have added the cabbage, but I just was grabbing. Plus, too, I had a 15-month-old grabbing me. So. Whatever works, but no. But I was really surprised how well he ate all of his carrots, and he liked chewing on the noodles, and he liked to, you know, he liked all these different flavors and textures. It's like, hey, we're doing something right with this one. You know, we'll try anything to see if we can get him to eat something. And like the girlfriend's, my grandson's girlfriend will say, you know, you feed me soup every time. Well, it just works. It just works.
You're
and
eating,
it does,
be quiet.
It, you know, it's not so much, you know, the budget-wise, but it's also a comfort food. It really does feed your innards. And, you know, we all used to laugh, you know, go to grandma's house and eat soup. Grandma's soup is always the best. I don't care. I don't even think I can replicate it even if I wanted to. But I'm close, but not necessarily that, you know, there's just something I'm missing here. I've added onion. I've added garlic. What else do I need to add?
Yeah.
It could be anything. It could be just because the potatoes are grown here and the potatoes weren't grown, you know, from grandma's. I don't know. There's just something missing. I just keep adding something else. Maybe I'll hit that, you know. But that comfort connect to grandma feeling for me.
Yeah.
You know, this weather hasn't been very comforting at all with the rain and the wind, and better than the ice and the snow, but it's definitely cold and chilly every once in a while. You go outside and it's like, oh, this hurts. So if I can turn around and heat you up from the inside, that's, I've done my job. You know, absolutely done my job.
Yeah.
But, and the group that we had this little party at last night, I mean, she did, like I said, this is a girl that does not cook. She has to read the instructions all the time. She did short ribs, and she did a veggie medley that I have never even thought about doing before. She said, I just grabbed whatever looked good, and everything was so sunshiny. It was bright yellow bell peppers, and what else? She had cauliflower in there, which is a year-round veggie, and she had carrots in there. She didn't have the broccoli in there, and she says, that's because I'm sick of broccoli. I said, well, okay. Mm-hmm. And then she creamed it down. Oh, my gosh. It's like, girl, you don't cook, really?
Well, good for her.
There was such a variety of cheeses and stuff. Everything was very yellow and orange and bright, you know, to bring back the sun. And everyone seemed to enjoy it. Of course, I made my crazy fudge, and that was a hit. You know, I don't know how many pieces I had when I left, but I only brought back 6 pieces. It was banana flavored this year. Just something different.
Cool.
So I stayed with the yellow theme, you know. It's real important, I think, that we stay with, you know, when we go to these Yule parties or we go to the Beltane parties, there is a color association. And a lot of people don't really think that, but this little group that I go with, and this is my coffee group that we had this party with, we see each other every week, but we also know what each other likes and dislikes. And we try to stay very focused on the season, especially the time of year. Not so much the Yule tree or any of that. It's creating that comfort. And I can't even think of the word for it, but if you create a comfort and everyone is nice and happy with that, then they open up and are able to talk about different aspects that they there's druids there. There were solitary witches there. There were, of course, Wiccans there. There was a few in there that really didn't call themselves, they just called themselves pagan. And come to find out, they were SCA baron and baronesses. I'm looking at them like, ooh, I'm in royalty. But But they brought these cheeses that we'd never had before. They had just come in from Switzerland, and they shipped them all in advance. And these are cheeses I'd never even eaten before. Didn't even really know what I was eating. It just like, well, that looks good. I'll try that. So some of this cheese was just the bomb. But everything was very bright yellow, bright cheery.
Good.
The only time that they truly got down to that gray area that, because a lot of people don't celebrate the way I would, or you know, the other person would. It felt very tense at first, and I said, you know, we can't be in everybody's head. This is a time to reflect for a lot of people, but you always have to also think about the tilting of the earth, the actual physical changes that are happening, and everyone celebrates it differently. We all are here to rejoice in that return of the light. You know, and everyone agreed then. They went, okay, that was good.
For me, you know, it's funny. For me, probably the Yule, the winter solstice has always been a time of great creative inspiration and time to write poetry. I always get inspired to write at this time of year. I don't know why. But also it's one of the holidays I find is very, I tend to spend it alone an awful lot. And so it's introspection, it's internal. Even if I do go to a Yule celebration, it still feels like a very internal process, the Yule holiday and the Yule celebrations. It is a wonderful time of year for giving gifts and seeing family and friends and all that, but for some reason it has always spoken to my inner muse. And so for me, when I celebrate this holiday, it's that long vigil of staying up with the long night. I always think of sort of you're not only staying awake to see the rising new sun, but you're also taking that time at night to search your soul, to look within and do a little personal work that you might need to get right before the long, cold, dark months here that we're going to have. Although the sun is returning, typically in the Northeast, January and February, are really the super cold months where you don't get out much, especially where I live in Pennsylvania. In the mountains.
Yeah, you're up in the mountains.
Yeah, it was really raw today. I have to say, I think today was our first true day of winter. It was about 40 degrees, and it was overcast all day, and it was windy and damp, and just chilled you to the bone when you walked out. I mean,
That's what I had yesterday. So it traveled pretty quickly for you then.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I know Terry happens to be working in Rhode Island tonight, and he was telling me they were having wind advisories in Rhode Island. It was so windy. And,
wow.
And, of course, you know, he's up on the roof of this mall in Rhode Island, and I'm like, oh, my God.
Yeah, anyway. I don't want to know.
Yeah, exactly.
I don't want to know.
Mm-hmm. It's just about the bottom of the hour. It's 10:28 or so. So if you'd like to play a song, that would probably be awesome. And then when we come back from the break, we can talk about maybe a little history about the Christmas tree and other traditional decorations. So we've talked a lot about food already this evening. Maybe the second half we should talk about crafts and decorations and things that we do to represent the season. Okay. All right. What are we going
to
be playing? I'll leave that announcement up to you.
All righty. We're going to play, and this is my new friend, Danny Mulliken of Hiawatha Day, and it's called The Hum and the Shiver, and they're awesome. Here we go.
There is one power in the universe, and we are perfect manifestations of that power.
And as such, we pray. We pray for peace. We pray for love. We pray for stability. We pray for the nation in which we live. We pray for the world.
We will it. We manifest it. We draw it to us. We receive it. We accept it. And we give thanks for it. And by our will, so mote it be.
To the Spiritual Unity Radio Network. Thanks for sticking around. And now, back to the show.
And hello, we're back from the break. And we that was a great song. Actually just read something online that Tuatha Dé had some kind of kudos as being the number one world music music artist, I think, in Canada, I think. Did
yep.
you read that, Nick?
Yep.
Yeah,
yeah,
so that's actually pretty cool.
It,
and we've been
Kentucky.
Playing them for a while.
Mm-hmm. Yep, and they're a band from Kentucky. And most of their videos that people see on YouTube
mm-hmm.
are all filmed on their. There's a lot of family members, so they all live on this family compound,
mm-hmm.
and a lot of their videos are right there on their property, in their barn, in their on their stream. It is they do,
yeah.
and of course they put the bloopers up, and they're hilarious. But
mm-hmm. That's cute.
They are number one in Canada. They are international. They're known all over. They're everywhere. That's why I'm trying to get them on the show. They are the bomb.
Mm-hmm.
But
yeah.
they just released a new album. So it's been a little difficult catching them when it's a good time for them. I know it's coming up, but I can't give you a date just yet.
Yep.
But we'll get
also, also, see, for those of you who may not know, NIV is actually the CERN radio station assistant manager and booking agent. And so she and I put our heads together frequently about, hey, can we get in touch with this one? Can we get in touch with that one? You also, I think, told me recently that we have a tentative date to have Lady Elspeth on the show?
Yes, we do. We do have a tentative only because if something happens on her end. We do
right.
have her scheduled for January.
Is it
the 11th. You are correct.
Yep.
So
terrific.
She is definitely booked and ready to go.
Okay.
She's actually very nervous and excited all together, and I told her, don't worry, you know Robin, you know. Yeah,
yeah
I
I've
know,
known her for
I
years.
I guess what I'm talking about.
Yeah,
she is touring now, so maybe we'll talk about
mm-hmm.
what she's her topic is.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely.
But she's
and
all
is there anybody
excited.
Else
she's
that's in the
excited.
Offing? Was there anybody else that's in
yes,
the offing?
Yes, but
that
we don't have a confirmation just yet, but we do have one of a well-known authors. I don't know if I can say that person's name right now, but we're
mm-hmm.
waiting on a confirmation for that person.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, I'm working on Tuatha Dé big time. I hit Danny every week. Is it ready yet? Is it ready? Are we there yet?
Yeah. And from what I understand, Terry has Christmas Eve. He has a special guest, Dave the Bard.
Darv
the Bard. We're always playing his stuff.
Yeah.
He's a friend of the station now, and so he'll be talking. Terry and I will be speaking with the Bard on Christmas Eve. So tune in to hear that. That should be a lot of fun. He's an interesting gentleman.
Yes,
so we were talking about Yule. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Oh yeah. We were talking about Yule, and we thought when we came back after the break, we would spend some time talking about traditional decorations and things that people maybe take for granted, like Christmas trees and what the origins of Christmas trees are. Christmas trees, for me, and, you know, and everybody will argue about what the origins of a Christmas tree are, but Christmas trees were about the Yule log. And you know, there's this whole cycle of the tree through the year, along with the holidays. The tree would be taken down for Yule, and it would be brought into the house and decorated as the Yule log, and it would be cut up, and then it would be burned. And then if it wasn't burned, people would then sometimes, people have sometimes made the suggestion that they actually burned last year's Christmas tree as this year's Yule log, because they would take
and then
they would take this year's, you know, tree that they would bring in to decorate, and then it would become the pole at Beltane. And then so it would serve this purpose all through the year. It will have gone all through the year with you, and then you would burn it as the next year's Yule log, because by that time it would have been dried and seasoned.
The different tales that I've heard here locally, they use the Yule log from last year. We'll call it the stump of the tree. And, of course, it's not burned until after the meal. I'm not sure why, but I saw this last night. They did that last night, and I just looked at them and went, okay. But it was a small one from someone's previous that was there attending. They had drilled specifically three holes in it to represent the mother, the maiden, and the crone. And like I said, the other people that were the SCA personnel that were there, I guess, I don't know what you call them, they put specific spices or herb down in each hole before it was lit. So there was a combination of last year's Yule log, this year's prosperity, is what they called it, prosperity or herbs. There was saffron in there, there was cinnamon in there, and there was also ginger. When I heard you saying it earlier about the marmalade, I went, I just smelled that burn. That's not a pretty smell. But I understand now, and then I even actually pulled out one of your and I mutual go-back reference books and understand now why those were burnt. I've also, and they said the reason, for, one of the ladies said one of the reasons why it wasn't burnt before the meal is because it can be odoriferous, and it was. And they specifically used pine or an evergreen tree from the last year because, like you said, it had to be sealed and cured. But then they said by the time, because now you've got this new tree, and there's a specific section that has to be cut. It can't be just the stump. It has to be up four to six inches. Because I guess that's where you put the water at. We use artificial tree. So they had to go up a certain, because all that water in there now is causing new bacteria. So they go up and they count 6 inches, and then they make the first cut. And then traditionally, I believe it's 9 to 12 inches. So there you go with this lopsided tree. And I said, how do you fix that? Oh, we just trim it. It's no big deal. And then that log is used at Beltane, but it's not used as the pole. The Beltane here, they use elm, specifically elm. And I haven't quite wrapped my brain around why, but that's
how it's done here. A male energetic tree.
Well, there you go.
And yeah, it then because it's supposed to represent, you know, male energies and the sort of a lingam, I guess.
Yeah.
With, you know, but that's what
they use. And then when you get past Beltane, I can't even think what the next one is. That log is present at every Sabbath.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And it, you know, it, as the season goes, according to the Baroness, she told me that certain herbs get put in every time. So by the end of the year, when you come back down through Yule again, now you've got these little holes that are all filled up, and it would represent each phase of the deity. And I just looked at her and went, okay, this is new information to me. I don't know. You know, I never had heard it that way, but okay.
Yeah.
So,
yeah. Well, everybody does their own thing.
Yeah.
It's, you know, there are different influences for different cultures and different pantheons.
Right. It was just good info.
Good
info.
Yeah,
you know?
Interesting. Interesting. So one of the things, one of the great kids craft projects at this time of year that probably everyone has done at one point or another is to take an orange and push clove into it and use that as a thing to hang in your closet or put in your drawer.
Pomanders. Didn't even say it right. Pomanders, I guess. That's what
pomanders,
we had in our wash sale last night.
Mm-hmm.
Really awesome.
Mm-hmm. And you can hang those around the house to keep the aromas fresh. And the clove, you know, is aromatic. You hang it in a window and the sun will hit it and it will, you know, emit its aroma all winter long. And the orange scent also, which also speaks of the sun. And this is definitely a traditional craft for Yule. There are so many, you know, basically anything having to do with citrus. Citrus, especially during Victorian times and before that, particularly hard to get in the winter. So you can imagine what a delicacy getting an orange would be for Christmas. And that used to be
appropriate. And that's why people put them in their stockings.
Yes, yes.
You know,
and in some cultures... In some cultures like Germany, they were much in the habit of taking marzipan and making little fruits that you would get in your stocking. I can still remember getting them as a kid. It was something that my grandmother loved, and I think it was her Germanic roots. She would get these little marzipan, you know, candies that were shaped like oranges and peaches and apples, and she would put them in our stockings, and you get them and you'd be like, oh, wow, you know, the cute little fruits every year. And I haven't seen them in years, so I don't know what happened to them. I don't know where she used to get them.
They're probably around in some, you know, mom and pop type stores.
Mm-hmm.
And some of the candy stores here, I've seen them.
Yeah.
I visit them once in a while because I can't have that much anymore, but I do.
Yep.
I do look for the quote-unquote old-fashioned candies, and that's part of that section.
Yeah. Yeah.
I know that another craft that the kids did, even my kids did, they would take lace and cinnamon sticks and make they would call it the chain, and they would make that at the beginning of December and go make it go the 31 days, so they have 31 sticks. And, of course, then, too, you can hang them anywhere as well. My daughter always wanted to shove hers near the closest to the oven as possible because every time that heat would kick on, she could smell that cinnamon come through the house.
You cannot go wrong at this time of year sticking to the warm, aromatic spices and herbs, things like allspice and mace and cinnamon and nutmeg and clove and cardamom and a lot of the aromatic Indian spices. Terry was very surprised. I'm in my pumpkin pie every year. You know, everybody always puts cinnamon in their pumpkin pie and some allspice and maybe a little nutmeg. Well, I always add cardamom and ginger to my pumpkin pie. I like it spicy. And if you've never used cardamom...
Why be the same? And I use fresh, what is that, nutmeg. I use fresh nutmeg in just about every dish in this house, except for breakfast. But it has that mommy flavor. I don't know what else to call it, because that's what it is. You know, we always had
nutmeg
all spice at my mom.
Yep, nutmeg is traditionally added to, like, in Eastern cooking, like Moroccan cooking and Indian cooking, to lots of meat dishes. And in Italian food, you always, if you make an Alfredo, you always grind a little fresh nutmeg over your Alfredo. It's one of the final finishes to get a good Alfredo. So, yeah, it's one of those under, most people are like, what, why would you put nutmeg over pasta with cream? Trust me.
it puts
it over the top. Yeah, it does. It really is excellent. And cardamom for me is one of those spices as well. I put it in just about everything.
You can put cardamom in everything. Tea, coffee, you know, whatever, milk.
Yep. And it's a wonderful
digestive.
It's
not unusual to have it. Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. It's absolutely wonderful for you to have it. But people take everything so for granted.
Mm-hmm.
And it amazes me, you know, we're using all these Indian spices and, you know, European spices in our food, and they take it for granted.
Mm-hmm.
Wait till you run out and you don't have that barter system with that country anymore.
Mm-hmm.
Your cabinet now will become gold because all your food needs that. You know, it needs that little kick here and a little kick there.
Well, you know I have found over the years? Is I don't have a whole lot of money to buy super expensive cuts of meat. I don't have a whole lot of money to buy a lot of different kinds of meat. However, I can take plain old beef, you know, stew meat if need be, and I can turn that into Chinese food, or I can turn it into Indian food, or I can turn it into Thai food, or I can turn it into, so if you've got a really good spice cabinet, sky's the limit. And you don't have to spend a lot of money so much on the cuts of meat. You know, you can use
it's
really inexpensive, used to be inexpensive flank steak for making Chinese food.
Oh, my gosh,
Sure. And so, but you just have to know what spices to put together. That's all. You know, you need to have for Chinese food.
And there's
you
all
have,
kinds of ways to do that. Yep, there's all kinds of ways to research that.
Yeah, absolutely.
I'm trying to think of the other crafts. Of course, the kids with the snowflakes, cutting them out.
Mm-hmm.
My kids used to tell me they were making snowflakes the way they cut them so they could let the sunshine back in.
Mm-hmm.
And it never even dawned on me until after they're gone. You know, now I have this 20-year-old grandson, and he's like, can we make snowflakes? Really?
Mm-hmm.
You know, but... Mm-hmm. She passed that down to him, but I just never thought about it. But it does make sense, you know. Granted, every snowflake that comes down is a reflection of, you know, when you look at it under even a microscope, you see all those little reflectors in there, and the ice, the way it just turns, so it lets light in.
Mm-hmm.
So we're still, you know. Granted, it's wintertime, and technically we should be having snow, but not this year. But it's reflecting that light, and that makes total sense.
Mm-hmm.
And another one, I guess, would be what we do here. We always, always have a garland of some kind. With my allergy, I can't touch pine. I love it, but it doesn't like me. So he will go... Ryan will go out and he'll cut branches off like his dad's tree, but then we take those branches and he will weave together, and we'll have pieces of it here in the house, and they're just woven together, and we've always had that. I don't think I've never, since, you know, we've been together 30 some odd years, and it makes sense. His brother up the driveway here, they make the big giant wreaths with the Boy Scouts every year.
Mm-hmm.
And they're absolutely beautiful. But that's something that his grandfather passed down to him. So I think whatever we can relate to from a parent or a grandparent, we can pull that in, you know, just like crocheting a chain. We always have one of those here because that's what the kids learn how to do with their finger crochet. And if you notice and look at all these different items, they all have little holes in them. And my kids will tell you that to let the sunshine back in.
Mm-hmm.
And it makes perfect sense. Where that came from, I don't know. It didn't come from me, but they know it. Mm-hmm. You know, so and then of course we all do the stockings. Everyone has a stocking.
Mm-hmm.
My daughter's is a purple one. My granddaughter's is a red one.
Mm-hmm.
Mine's a blue one. Everybody picks their own stocking. They decorate it. Santa, of course, always fills it with the strangest things, but that makes the fun out of it as well. So I think it's very important that, you know, you maintain a fun aspect or a jokey time, because it isn't always about dark.
Mm-hmm.
You know, yes, we're celebrating the light of the return of light. We won't see really big stuff coming until March or April, but the nights won't be as long.
Right.
That's the best thing. Yay.
Yep.
I hate looking at the clock at 4 o'clock and it's getting dark. I hate it. It just kills me. another one, of course, is the battle of what goes on top of the tree. What do you put on top of your tree?
We have what most people would consider to be an angel, but what we call a fairy in this house, a Christmas fairy.
Ah. Okay. We put, this year, we have a 5-point gold star.
Mm-hmm.
We also have the, I call him Old Man Christmas. I made him several years ago. I took him, made him from a plastic cone, and I shopped everywhere until I could find what I wanted him to hold in his hand, and he holds a bird and a bird cage and a piece of Yule leaf from last year. That this
mm-hmm.
year I'll have to replace that. He's not traditional red. He's gray and white. I went and found a head and crafted that onto that. And it doesn't look too bad. It's held up for 6 years. We're holding, you know, yay, this worked. And we always have a sleigh in the house, a little miniature
mm-hmm.
sleigh.
Okay.
Not just for cards and things like that, but for gathering things like
mm-hmm.
wishes, and that's starting to come to be a new tradition as well here. And I think everybody should have a new wish,
mm-hmm.
you know, for the next year. I think quote unquote mm-hmm. Father Christmas, but whatever you want to call him, should
mm-hmm.
be able to present that to you, or at least give you that opportunity.
Yeah.
So that's what we've just been doing lately, and it's working.
Yeah.
You know. It absolutely is working at this time.
Cool.
Looky here, where did this time go?
3 minutes.
It's almost.
I know.
Wow. It flies.
Yeah, it goes fast. Yep.
I don't know. We're just awful. We just chat all day. But yeah, traditions and it's always good to bring new traditions to
mm-hmm.
or create new ones.
Mm-hmm.
And let the children be very much a part of it. I'm a real believer of that. They're the ones that are still innocent and looking for Santa or Father Christmas or whomever.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. How can people get a hold of you?
People can reach me by getting in touch with me at littlestonebridge@gmail.com. That is the best place to reach myself and Terry. We both share that email address. In particular, if you are interested in having us come and speak at your event, do workshops, or do personal counseling, we do all of those things. If you have questions about what those things are, quote-unquote, feel free to send us an email and just write Littlestone Bridge Services or something to that effect in the subject matter, and I will get right back to you and explain in a more in-depth way than I can here about what it is exactly that we do. I am a ordained reverend, and I'm also a certified holistic health coach. Terry has been an ordained minister / reverend, whatever you want to call it, in interfaith spirituality now for 20-something years. We have a lot of experience between the two of us. We can speak on a lot of different topics, as is evidenced by our you know, constantly being on the radio. So feel free to contact us and ask us about that. Yeah, we're also on Facebook, and you can reach us at, again, Little Stone Bridge Pathworkings on our Facebook page. You can reach me at the Spiritual Wellness Physical Health Facebook page, or on my personal Facebook page at Robin McKean, Robin A. McKean on Facebook. And let's see, what else? Is there anything else? Oh, yes, the bane of my existence, the radio station email, which I can never remember.
I was going to get you on that one. It is SURN .org at gmail.com. If you have any station questions or needs and wants, be sure and contact it there. If you need to contact me, you can contact me through that email address.
Terrific.
And that's all we got. Hey, I appreciate this show tonight. I'm going to be digging around and being happy about finding new traditions and honing the old.
Mm-hmm.
And cool. I wish everyone a wonderful holiday season with their family, no matter how they celebrate.
Exactly. Exactly. All righty, then we can wrap up the show, and I will thank everybody for attending, and I will remind everybody, as always, to, especially this week, spread the love. And when you've got people in your house and the family's getting under your skin, take a minute and take a deep breath and think how glad you are to have them all there in your home, because if any one of them was missing, what a sad, empty spot it would be. So even though they might sometimes get under your skin at the holidays, it's a lot of stress and a lot of strife. Just take a deep breath and think loving thoughts, and it will help. So spread the love and enjoy, and we will talk to you next Monday night. Good night, all. Blessed be.
Blessed be.
Thanks for listening to the Spiritual Unity Radio Network. Join us 7 nights a week for exciting programming covering a variety of expressions of faith. And remember, all manifestations of the divine are equally valid.